coming to you with words and teaching that will change your life forever.
All things that you will ever need in your life, they're wrapped up in the Word. Go for the Word. You need to understand these things. And when you get a hold of it, keep saying it. Don't stop talking it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. The Bible says in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Can you shout amen?
I'm set on the course that I must follow.
In the name of Jesus, prosperity is mine. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul.
Yay! Pastor Chris, worth hearing.
St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 15. Did I say 15? No, 14. 14. I have 14 open here. Chapter 14. I'm reading from verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Praise God. Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. Jesus walked on the sea. He walked on the water. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, Jesus walked on the water.
Jesus walked on the water.
Sure. Verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." Praise the Lord. He said, if you're the one, you know, Jesus came walking on the sea and the disciples were troubled. They were so scared. They were afraid. And Peter said, if you're the one, because Jesus said, "Be not afraid, I am the one." They said, if you're the one, Peter said, if you're the one, ask me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, "Come." What if it hadn't been Jesus? Have you ever thought about it? The man said, if you are the one, what a gamble. If you are the one, ask me to come to you on the water. No, he wasn't gambling. He knew something of the word of Jesus that has power. He knew something about Jesus Christ. Something about his word that has the ability to cause you to do something and to give you that divine ability to produce results in you. So you not only have the motivation, you have the ability. Hallelujah. This is beautiful. Verse 29. He said, "Come." Jesus said, "Come." Peter said, "Lord, if you're the one, ask me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." Hallelujah. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter actually walked on the water. I like this. I think that was a great opportunity. Everybody in the ship could have walked on the water that day. Do you think so? Because he didn't say, come, Peter. He said, come. Everyone could have acted on that word. Peter did. Bible says, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Hallelujah. He walked on the water. We're sharing today on walking on the water. See, the Christian life is a walk on the water. Amen? We are actually called to walk on the water. That's what the Christian life is all about. You're actually walking on the water. When you come to Christ, it's a life on the water. Now let's be through with this. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. He was afraid. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Hallelujah. Does the Bible say, but when God found out that Peter was only a man, he made him sink? Is that what it says? No. It says, but when he, Peter, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. In beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt? O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? That's what Jesus said to him. Why did you doubt? You were already making it. Why did you doubt? You were already walking on the water. Why did you doubt? Hallelujah. O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? But the fact is, Peter actually walked on the water. Amen. He walked on the water. Now, what do we get from this? Look at this. When you come to Christ and you receive eternal life, you begin a new walk with Christ. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. All things are passed away and all things are become new. Now, he doesn't say, if any man be in Christ, he may be a new creation, or he will become a new creation, or if he will pray hard enough, he will be a new creation. No, he says he is. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. That's not a promise. It's a statement of fact. If you're in Christ, how many of you are in Christ? Let me see your hand up. You are in Christ. Glory to God. Now he says, you are a new creation. You're not going to be. You are. Now, when Peter came out of that ship, what we may call a boat, when he came out of that boat, he was acting on the word of the master. Jesus said, come. Listen again. They were afraid. They were troubled when they saw someone walking on the sea. And Jesus said, I'm the one. Do not be afraid. Peter said, if you're the one, ask me to come. Ask me to come. Tell me to come. Jesus said, come. He came out of the boat and walked on the sea to go to Jesus. Was he walking on the word of Jesus or was he walking on the water? He actually walked on the water, but he was acting on the word of the master. Because Jesus had come and he knew the word of the master will hold him. Praise God. He knew the word of the master will hold him. Jesus said, come, and he acted on that word, come. Hallelujah. He said, come. He acted on that word. Glory to God. You know, always he lets us know if we will act on his word, we will see the glory of God. Do you remember in the 11th chapter in John's Gospel when Jesus went to Lazarus' grave? The man had been dead 4 days. And Jesus stood by the entrance of that cave and he said, roll the stone away. They tried to stop it. They said, Master, he's been dead 4 days. By now he would stink. He said, didn't I tell you if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? That's what Jesus said. He said, didn't I tell you if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Now roll the stone away. Hallelujah. Roll the stone away. They said, no, Master, we shouldn't do that. By now he stinketh. Let's not roll the stone away. He's been dead 4 days. They weren't expecting anything. Jesus said, didn't I tell you if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? You've got to believe first to see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Didn't I tell you? If you would believe, you would see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I love Jesus. The word comes first. He said to the man at the pool of Bethesda, he said, do you want to get well? That's what he asked the man. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Then he said, get up. He didn't touch him first. He didn't do anything to the man. He said, get up. Get up and go home. The man had been in that case for 38 long years. He had suffered 38 long years. He was impotent for 38 long years. Jesus said, do you want to get well? Now get up. Go home. Take your bed and go home. The man got up and was healed. Praise the Lord. Now he says to Peter, come. And Peter comes out of the boat and walks on the water. And this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Watch this. Verse 30. But, everybody say, but. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. He looked at those tall waves and he was afraid. He thought, dear God, am I really out here? He was afraid. And beginning to sink. All the time he was walking toward Jesus, he didn't sink. He only began to sink when he turned away from the master and looked. Hebrews chapter 12. Book of Hebrews chapter 12. I am reading from verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Looking unto Jesus. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Don't get distracted. Don't look around. Look at the Master. Don't look away. Look at the Master. Hallelujah. Now, you know, the margin actually reads, looking away unto Jesus. Now, that's really big. That's interesting. It means turn away from everything else and fix your gaze on Jesus. Looking away unto Jesus. Turn away from everything else. Fix your gaze on Jesus. Let's run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus. Now, if Peter had had his gaze on the Master, he wouldn't have seen the waves. And he would have continued to walk underwater. Hallelujah. Oh, this is beautiful. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The author and perfecter of our faith. He's the perfecter of our faith. Hallelujah. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. Peter said, if you're the one, ask me to come to you in the water. Jesus says, come, 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 looking unto Jesus. Come, looking unto Jesus. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus. Now, I want to read on. In verse 2, you'll notice something. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, Jesus looked at the joy that was set before him. He looked at the result of his faith. The Bible says he endured the cross. He endured the suffering. And despised the shame. He didn't count that shame. He didn't care what people thought about him. He was going to go through because of the joy that was set before him. And the Bible says we should act like him. Act like him. Fix your gaze on him. Refuse to be distracted. Refuse to look around. They may call your names, but don't care about it. Looking unto Jesus. Walking on the water. Walking on the sea. Keep your gaze on the Master. Don't get distracted. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Despising the shame. Hallelujah. Despising the shame. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading verse 12. Have you found it? What's the first word there? Christ. Say it again. Christ. One more time. Christ. Louder. Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. How many of you have received eternal life? Or how many of you? No. Better this way. How many of you hope to have eternal life when you get to heaven? Come on now. You hope to get it when you get to heaven. Nobody? How many of you have it now? You sure do. All right, now look at this. It says, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on it. Lay hold on eternal life. Eternal life already belongs to you. Now he says, lay hold on eternal life. How many of you have eternal life in your hand today? Can you show it up? Raise it up now. Where is your eternal life? Do you have it in your hand? Where is it? Because it's spiritual. Praise the Lord. It's in your spirit. It's in your spirit. Which means he's talking about an act of faith here. This is an act of faith. He says, lay hold on eternal life. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. How do you lay hold on eternal life? How do you lay hold on something you do not see? It's an act of faith. It's real to you. In other words, you see, the believer is a possessor. The Bible says, he that believeth hath. He that believeth hath. The believer is a possessor. He has it now. So when it tells you lay hold on eternal life, he means that which already belongs to you. Remain a possessor. It's yours now. Stay there. Stay in that life. Live that life. Live your life on earth with the principles of the kingdom of God. You dwell in the kingdom of God now. You're not going to the kingdom of God. You belong in the kingdom of God now. The Bible says, for we have come unto Mount Zion. We are there now. We are not going to Zion. It says, ye are come. Praise the Lord. Ye are come. Ye have arrived. You are now in the kingdom of God. Of course, this is not heaven. Heaven is a place in the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Heaven is a place in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not all heaven. Heaven is a place. How many of you remember that? We've talked about that before. Heaven is a place. It is a definite geographical location in the kingdom of God. All of the kingdom of God is not heaven. We are in the kingdom of God right now, but we are not in heaven. Praise the Lord. Now, I know some people say that when everything is all right with you, you're in heaven. But if you're suffering, you're in hell. That's not true. Heaven is a place, and hell is a place. Hallelujah. Hell is a place in the kingdom of darkness. Did you know that? It is a place in the kingdom of darkness. The Bible says, hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. So it's from beneath. But heaven is above. The Bible says, looking up to heaven, he said, which means heaven is above. But hell is from beneath. You say, where is above? Above is a spiritual description. It's not an earthly description. Because you know the earth is spherical. And there are people right now standing on the other side of the world. And their heads are in opposite direction with respect to us. Is that right? So when we say above this way and they say above, they'll be going that way. And of course, others are standing this way. And they say above, and that's it. But you see, when you say above, you are looking at something spiritual. So when a man dies, his spirit ascends. Praise God. His spirit ascends by the sides of the knot. When we say knot, you may be thinking about canoe. See, But to God, north is not Kano. That's somewhere else. It's in the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. It's in the realm of the Spirit. Glory to His name forever. I want to show you something else here. So beautiful. You know, He tells us in His Word to put our hearts on the Word of God, stay, fix our gaze on the Word. There's something that the Word of God does for you. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And I'm reading from the 20th verse. Are you there? My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them. Hallelujah. And health to all their flesh. This is beautiful. Talking about the Word of God. It says, they are life unto those that find them. They are life unto those that find them. And health to all their flesh. But here it says, attend to my words. Attend to my words. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. He's talking about meditation. Meditation. Making your heart stay on God's word. Keeping your heart on the word of God. Now, he knows that when you do that, something will happen in your spirit. Praise God. It says, they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. The margin says, medicine to all their flesh. The Word of God is medicine. Hallelujah. The Word of God is medicine. Tell somebody the Word of God is medicine. The Word of God is medicine. Sure. That's what the Word of God is. Now again, he tells us, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold. You lay hold with your spirit. You stay your gaze on Jesus through your spirit by fixing your gaze on the Word of God, and that's meditation. You meditate on the Word of God, and the Word of God has that power. It will affect your spirit. It will produce in your spirit whatever it talks about. Whatever the Word of God says will become real to your spirit. Amen? So you can actually work on you. You can actually transform your own life. You can actually sit down and say, well, throughout this week, I'm going to produce results through my spirit. You can actually say, I'm going to make progress in the realm of the spirit. You can do that. Because the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's Romans chapter 2, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be renewed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed. There's a metamorphosis. Transformed. It means be metamorphosed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Through the thinking given to you by the Word of God. See, as you study the Word of God, it gives you a new way of thinking. Hallelujah. You know, God's Word is really His thoughts clothed with vocabulary. That's what the Word of God really is. He clothes His thoughts with vocabulary. That's His Word. And His word is powerful. You can take the word of God into your spirit and make it produce results. Hallelujah. You can take the word into your spirit and make it produce results for you. Now look at chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 15. I want you all to read that together. One, two, go. No. Read it again. One more time, everybody. Good. He says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself completely to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditate upon these things. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Hallelujah. Your progress will be seen by others. He's letting you know the word of God will produce results in you. If you meditate on the word of God, it will produce results in you, and those results will be seen by others. They can actually see your life going upward. Hallelujah. You're making progress. They can see your success. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Hallelujah. That thy profiting may appear to all. When you received eternal life, you received a life belonging to another world, in a sense. That's another kingdom. That life is not of this world. What you have in you today is not of this world. If you're born again, you're born into the life and nature of God. You're born into the realm of God's living. You do not belong to this world. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away and all things are become new. You don't belong here, but you are here. You are here. You don't belong here. And yet God expects you to live that new life that you have in this world. He expects you to live that life here. And so he says to you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He says, fight the good fight of faith. What is the fight of faith? The circumstances tell you something different. But the word of God tells you, no, that's not it. Hallelujah. So you stick to God's word. When you look at the circumstances of life, you find impossibilities. You find difficulties. But when you look at the word, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He gives you an I can do mentality. That's the reason it says, be ye metamorphosed by the renewing of your mind. He wants you to be transformed from one level to another, from one level, one realm of glory to another, through the word of God. Because already in your spirit, you're a child of God. In your spirit, you have the nature of God. In your spirit, you have the ability of God's spirit. Hebrews chapter 2. Tell somebody, let it soak, let it soak, let it soak. Let it soak. It's got to get in. It's got to get in. Hallelujah. I said it's got to get in. It's got to get. Are you ready? Sure you wanted to get in? It's got to get in. Hebrews chapter 2. Oh boy. I'm reading from verse 5. I've been wanting to just remain. I think, oh, my Lord. Are you ready? All right, just forget about me and follow the word now. Verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a second place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Stop. How many of you understand what he's saying? Can I see your hand up? If you're following what he's saying at all, you're following what he's saying. Have you understood that so far? Let's go again. I want you to catch. This is marvelous. Look, this is one of those scriptures when you read, when you're alone in your room and you read, you just carry your Bible and you start shouting. I'm telling you, it's one of the shouting scriptures. Praise the Lord. Let's go again. He says, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Now let me explain this to you. He is quoting from the book of Psalms. Are you hearing me? And from the Hebrew text, what it actually says is, thou hast made him for a little while lower than God. The word angels comes from a word, the Hebrew word, Elohim. So he's quoting it from the Old Testament. He says, thou hast made him for a little while lower than Elohim. Are you catching this? Lower than Elohim, lower than God. Here we have it read to us as the word angels. No, it actually means Elohim, God. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. He's talking about man. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he had put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. He's talking about man. He says God has put all things under man. He left nothing out. He put all things under man. But watch this. But now, we see not yet all things put under him. Have you seen a man running from a dog? All things have been put under man. He says, but now we do not see all things put under him. Man is taken up with disease, attacked by some germs. Man is oppressed. He finds himself in one problem or the other. He's suffering. He says, we do not see all things under him. But God put all things under him. Yet we do not see all things under men. But, I like this. Look at verse 9. But we see Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. We see Jesus. We do not see all things under man. We find him in poverty. We find him in bondage. We find him sick, diseased, afflicted. We find him in degradation. We find him in all the problems of the world. But he says, look, there's a man you can see. His name is Jesus. Who was made for a little while lower than God. Lord and Elohim, for the sovereign of death, we see him crowned with glory. Oh, hallelujah. We see him crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Do you understand what the man is telling you? You may not see man above all things. You may not see all things placed on the man. He says, but look, you will see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. What's he telling you? There's a man whom you can see with glory and honor. There's a man who's above all things. There's a man who's already demonstrating that life. His name is Jesus. He says, turn away from ordinary man and look at Jesus. And by the grace of God, reign through Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, this is beautiful. For it became him, verse 10, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Oh, glory. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. Saying, verse 12, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, now he's quoting several scriptures. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Look at verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy, that means paralyze him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Do you understand what he's telling you? He has paralyzed death and he has delivered us, hallelujah, from the domain of death. This is beautiful. We see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. We see him above all things. He says you may not be able to reign over all things in your own name, but you sure can in the name of Jesus. That's what he's telling you. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. No wonder he tells us, I had not seen nor ear heard. Come on, let's go there. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Verse 9. But as it is written, I had not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Have you seen it? Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians, verse 9. Do we go again? All right. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. By his Spirit. By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Ghost knows the deep things of God. And he has revealed those things, the things of God, to our spirits. Hallelujah. And as we meditate on those things revealed to us by the Holy Ghost, they take residence in our spirits. They produce in us what they talk about. The Word of God becomes real to our spirits. And that's beyond the realm of religion. Because the Word of God becomes real to you. Hallelujah. Oh, this is great. I want you to look at chapter 1 of the same 1 Corinthians, verse 30. And see how this goes. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This Christ has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's the reason when we meditate on the Word of God, it produces these results. The wisdom of God is revealed in us and through us. As we meditate on the Word of God, it says that thy profiting may appear to all. It sanctifies us. It produces in us righteousness. And there you find the evidence of redemption. Hallelujah. So that's what it is when you put the Word of God to work in your life. That's what it is. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, it tells us what to do with the Word of God. You want to see it? Turn to it. Joshua chapter 1 verse number 8. Says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then, he says, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Abstain in the word of God. Staying in the Word of God, not turning away from the Word. Fixing your gaze on Jesus, not turning away. Jesus said, come. And the moment you take your step to go to Jesus, you don't turn away anymore. You walk on the water. You don't look at the waves. Hallelujah. To look at the waves is to sink. They try to get your attention on something else. No, 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 no. To look that way is to sink. Maybe you have a growth in your body. To look at the growth is to sink. Look at the Word. What does the Word say? What does it say? To look at the symptoms is to sink. Look at the Word. If you keep looking at the Word, it will produce in you what it says. Keep looking at the Word. The Bible says, be ye transformed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible says, as we look at the glory of God in a mirror, we are metamorphosed. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. It says, as we look, we are changed. As we look, we are changed. We don't have to make an effort to change. We just look. Hallelujah. We just look. Just look at the Word. Fix your gaze on the Word. It'll produce results in you. See, your heart is like the soil, and the Word of God is seed. And when you put the Word of God in your heart, you are sowing seed in that ground. And it will not take long before you find that the Word of God has sprung up in your soil. And you keep watering it by speaking His Word all the time. By meditation on the Word, you're watering your ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watering it. Watching it produce results. How many of you want to act on God's Word? You want to see the Word of God produce results in you? That's the way. That's the way. No one can stop the Word from producing results if you would only sow it in the right environment. Place the Word of God in the right environment. That's the environment of faith, an atmosphere of faith. Put the word of God in there. Refuse to turn away. Keep speaking God's word. Keep proclaiming God's word. It will produce results. It is guaranteed to produce results. Amen? God's word never fails. Lift your hands toward heaven. Honor Him. Worship Him.
To order for this message and other titles by Pastor Chris, log on to www.christembassyonlinestore.org.